Hello everyone, I'm glad to be back with another video for you today. Pastor Paul is actually on a short vacation, so I'm doing my video today and he'll be doing his on Thursday. But I just want to go ahead and just jump right in. Last week, I began a series looking at the ways that New Testament authors use the First Testament in their writings. And so last week, we talked about Peter and how he used a theme that is found several places in the First Testament, and then he used that theme to exhort believers to live as strangers and aliens in this world, to fight against sin and to not make this world their home, but to live like this is just temporary and to view things through that lens. Today, we are going to look at the only New Testament author that we actually don't know. And so I'm talking about the author of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is an interesting challenge for this study because the entire letter is one long comparison of Old Testament themes to New Testament truths. The theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. The author walks through the history of Israel and concludes that Jesus is better than all of it. And so to truly understand the book of Hebrews, you need to understand the First Testament. And to truly understand who Jesus is and what he did, you need to understand the First Testament. So it's really important that we take these things seriously. And so today, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at Moses and how the author of Hebrews compares the life and ministry of Moses to Jesus. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The text says, "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." So Moses was the giver of the law. He was the deliverer. He led the people from oppression in Egypt to the promised land. Moses is the most important person in Israelite history. He looms large over everyone and everything. And as I was thinking about these things, I have recently watched Hamilton with Courtney. And for anyone who doesn't know, Hamilton is a musical about Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers of our nations. And at one point in the story, King George is reacting to George Washington stepping away from the presidency. And King George sings, "There's nobody else in their country who looms quite as large." And then later he says, "Next to Washington, they all look small." Washington was universally respected. And so this year is an election year. And I did a quick Google search and saw that in the month of June, and this is just one month, over $250 million was raised for the presidential campaigns of Joe Biden and President Trump. Over $250 million in one month for these two men and their campaigns. George Washington didn't campaign. He didn't even really want the job, and he won unanimously twice. He's the only president in history to receive 100% of the electoral votes, and he did it twice. Washington has always been regarded as an American hero. He was a general who led the nation to victory over tyranny. He walked away from power when he easily would have won a third term if he had desired it. His legacy is remarkable. And even though it has been embellished to gloss over some of the things that we wish weren't there, Washington looms large in our nation. But Moses looms even larger for the Jews. Moses delivered them from Egypt. He came in the name of the Lord and he did miraculous signs. He led them to Sinai where he spoke face to face with God like a man talks to his friend. His face radiated light because of the close, intimate encounters he had with God. He had to wear a veil so that the people could look at him. He received the law directly from God and he delivered it to the people. Moses literally shaped the people of Israel. God used him that way. And Moses wasn't perfect, but he was faithful to God's call on his life. He obeyed, he believed, he trusted. The author of Hebrews wants the readers of his letter to be thinking about these things. He wants them to remember how big of a deal Moses was. The author of this letter didn't just pick some random king of Israel we know next to nothing about. He didn't pick a prophet who was faithful but wasn't very influential. He picks the most influential person in Israel's history and says, yeah, but Jesus is better. Moses is commended. He was faithful to God like a servant. He did the job that he was given. He ruled over God's house. He may have even been the chief of servants, but Christ was faithful as a son. A servant has a big impact, even a huge impact, but he is not the son. There's a special relationship there. Moses does not have the impact that Christ does. Christ is the son. He is a member of the family. Christ built up the house. And notice that we are told that we, believers, are God's house. Christ built us up in a way that Moses could not. The deliverance that Christ offers us is better than the deliverance Moses gave to the Israelites. To be set free from the oppression of sin and death far exceeds being set free from Egypt. The covenant bought with the blood of Christ is better than the one bought with the blood of lambs. And the hope that we have, the promise of the future, the home that we will inherit, is far greater than the land of Canaan that the Israelites would inherit from Moses. Moses the servant prepares us for Christ the Son. When we read about Moses and when we read the words of Moses, we should remember that he is pointing us to Christ. And this is not an accident. God designed it this way. God is Lord over all. He designed Israel and her history so that we would see and recognize Christ. Not everything is a big, bold arrow pointing, saying, yes, right here, this is pointing me to Christ. Not everything is that blatant. But what the author of Hebrews wants us to see is that everything is about Christ. Everything is about God revealing us, or revealing God to ourselves. What we had before was good, but this, what we have through Christ, is better. Christ is better than everything. He is better than the angels. He is better than Moses. He is better than Joshua. He is better than Aaron and all of the other high priests. And the covenant that we receive from him is better than the old covenant. The author of Hebrews celebrates the things of the First Testament. They are good things, but he holds them up to the best thing. And when he does, Christ outshines them all. So for us, as we read the First Testament, we should be reminded that they are pointing us to something better. When we see a shortcoming, when we see an incomplete fulfillment, a less than perfect outcome, we remember that these things are only a preview for the coming of Christ. They are to prepare us, and we should celebrate this. We should rejoice. We should cherish that God loved us so much that he told us his plan. He revealed it to us. He told us to look for, or he told us what to look for, and now we see it. We can understand. How could we understand what it meant for Jesus to be our great high priest if we had no frame of reference for what a high priest was? How can Jesus give us a better covenant if we aren't intimately familiar with the first covenant and its shortcomings? The author of Hebrews makes it plain that the First Testament is a gift that we have been given so that we can better know, understand, and appreciate Christ for who he is and what he has done. And so I just want to end by challenging you to appreciate this fact, to read the First Testament through this lens. Think about how the passage you read might point you to Christ. How does that help you understand him and appreciate his ministry? How does it help you see his glory and his majesty? Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to find an explicit reference to Christ in every passage of the First Testament, but I believe that you will be surprised at how often you will see that this is true. And when you do, I hope it will give you a greater appreciation for how God revealed himself to us and his plan. That you will see that our great God loves us so much that he went so far above and beyond what could be expected so that we could come to know him and love him by reading his word. It's such a privilege and it's such a blessing to have these things. And so I pray that you will love and that you will rejoice in the word of God. We'll see you next week.